Welcome to Steve Dale's Pet World.
You don't have a better bad idea than this?
This is the best bad idea we have, sir.
If you've got pets, he's got answers.
You are a sad, strange little man.
Steve can help. We're positive.
Oh, God, this thing is going downhill fast.
You've got America's pet expert here on Steve Dale's Pet World.
You know, I said it last night at this dinner I was honored to participate in and help to MC. These veterinarians might be the most important veterinarians there are because they focus on end of life. And it's not an easy topic to talk about, especially so early in the morning, friends, but it's an important one. And if you have a pet, you've probably gone through it before. And the truth is, you'll probably go through it again. Dr. Amir Shanan, a certified hospice and palliative care veterinarian, is the founder of the International Association for Animal Hospice and Palliative Care. And that's, in fact, the dinner I was honored to be at last night for that organization. Happened to have the conference right here in Chicago. And Michelle Nichols is a master in counseling, not a veterinarian. I want to talk about why that matters as well. And you had your own experience with a boxer that led you into all this. And maybe, Michelle, that is where we start.
Mm-hmm. Well, Steve, we have had an amazing group of veterinarians and other allied professionals who have joined our field because they're inspired by many things, either helping a family through the process or by the end-of-life experience with their animals. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how I came to it.
Just through that, through mm-hmm. your own personal animal.
That's right.
And as a professional, you are what?
Well, I am a grief counselor. I am licensed in the state of California. And since moving to Washington, I founded a nonprofit that's locally based. And so what we do is build a team around the family, of course, to include a veterinarian to lead. And I help support that team in providing the best care for the people.
What do we need that for? They're just pets.
Exactly. And lovely that we hear that less and less. People are starting to
I think that the bosses at the workplace now even sometimes allow a day off, even if the company doesn't officially have that. And in fact, more and more companies do officially allow that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. All kinds of accommodations because they are our loved ones. They are true members of our family. And that's important for society to recognize. That's what we're trying to do in the International Association of Animal Hospice and Palliative Care.
Yeah, easy.
Spread the word.
Easy for you to say that long one. Dr. Shanan, you helped organize this organization. Why? Why did you think, okay, it's time that we bring veterinarians and others together from all over, not all over the country, all over the world, mm-hmm. to focus on end-of-life care?
Steve, more and more pet owners' expectations for the care for their pet are similar to the care that for human family members. And so we want what's very best for them. We need to support pet owners as they go through this very difficult experience. We veterinarians know how difficult it is for families, but often feel that they don't have the tools to help the humans. And in hospice and palliative care, we address both the animal and the human family members.
Well, 312-981-7200, you know you can text or call at that number. You know that because I've gotten text. And the texts that I've gotten so far, interestingly enough, are consistent with one another. And what they're saying, essentially, or what they're asking, is the question you probably hear more often than any other. How do I know it's time? And that's the essence of what several people are asking. So, how do you know, Dr. Amir?
There is no set formula or combination of symptoms that can answer that question. It's a long conversation.
They say the pet usually lets you know. Do you buy into that?
I think that's part of the answer, yes. I think that pets, first of all, pets want to live. They also don't want to suffer. And we have to pay very close attention to the animal's behavior. That's how they communicate with us. And then we need to combine that with our human medical knowledge and make the best decisions.
Michelle, I bet you can add to that answer.
I think I can. I do believe that people perceive in their hearts where the point where their animal feels like they have to go. It has so much to do with quality of life. And the family, the people, are the ones that know the pet best. If we can see a change, then that does help them in their decision making.
But it's hard. So you know your pet the best, yes. But it's hard to look at it, I think. And you tell me about your clients, Dr. Shannon. To me, it's hard when you're in it. You know, so if it's a friend's pet, if it's a neighbor's pet, I could probably do a better job of helping them than if it's my own pet.
So the answer, Steve, is a process that we call collaborative decision-making, and it takes into consideration the family's knowledge of their pets and their intuition and what they get from their pet, combined with the outside knowledge of a caring professional that is listening to the family and bringing our own set of knowledge, and making that decision together can be time consuming, but that's the best way.
You know, you guys might throw something at me for what I'm about to say. We'll see. I believe in general. So the good news is, especially among millennials, but all pet owners, the human-animal bond, I think, has intensified over the past 5, 6, 7, you name the number of years. Would you guys agree with that?
Absolutely.
Okay, there's data now to actually verify that. Here's my thing, though. I think that as a result of that, in general, people are waiting too long because it's so hard. What do you both think of that?
I've heard that concern from many people, and
you're talking about colleagues, professionals who have expressed that.
Colleagues and from many clients who are talking to me because they're worried. They don't want to wait too long. I actually also see a lot of pet owners who make decisions too early because they're so afraid of their animal suffering. And we sometimes forget that animals want to live and animals are resilient. We don't give up on life at the first challenge. And so finding that balance between too early and too late is a case-by-case process.
Same?
Absolutely. I feel the same as Dr. Shannon. What I might add is that's the importance of earlier entrance into care. And we see the same thing in human hospice. And if we could spread the word and people know where to turn, then we can do the most good. And through that whole process of quality of life examination, the team collaboration, then we are able to help them reach a place where I call euthanasia readiness, or preparation for a hospice-supported end-of-life experience.
I want to talk about hospice for pets in a second, but I want to talk about that preparation, which is part of your expertise. So it's oftentimes not only a mom and a dad, but there's kids involved. And I know, hopefully I'm young enough or I'm not of the generation this happened, but I bet it did, where mom or dad said, you come home from school one day, the pet's not there mysteriously. And mom or dad said something like, oh, well, little Fido ran away or went to the farm kind of thing, right? It seems to me that doesn't seem like a good idea, and I don't think people are doing that as much. But what do you do? How do you prepare the kids.
Mm-hmm. Well, just as you point out, that can be very traumatizing, and over the course of their life,
people
that can impact.
People still remember 50 years later.
Absolutely.
You know?
Every single decision that comes up. And that's why I am involved with the team, is exactly to address that and help them work through that process. As far as your question, Steve, to get, to allow the kids are so important. You have to reach them where they are. Every life stage, every development of every child point in child development is important to address. And so that's also what we do as a mother and a father, Dr. Shannon. I think that we've both been able to go through that. And we, again, reaching them where they are is so important.
312-981-7200. That's our number. You could text or call. And this text says, and I'm going to try to read it exactly as it says here, hospice for pets? So it's hospice for pets, question mark, explanation mark, explanation mark, explanation mark. So I hope I read that right, because you know what? I don't think that people know that necessarily that option even exists. So what am I talking about? What is hospice for pets? We will find out next on WGN. Good morning, Steve Dale, WGN Radio. We're talking about, and I said this last night at the Swanky dinner that you guys, and then I did something I've never done in my career. And boy, I've done a lot of things in my career. What we did is play a game of Jeopardy, actually, where we talked about end of life and kind of made it fun, you know? And it's not the kind of topic you'd think is typically fun, right? But you know what? You had that time with that animal that is so incredibly special. And I will tell you, if it were the other way around and they lived longer than us, somehow that wouldn't be right either, you know, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to the phones. We have several phone calls. I'll take what we can here. And good morning. This is Jeff, and you are on WGN. Jeff, hi.
Good morning. I'm calling as a recent former patient of Dr. Shannon's who treated my dog Beasley this summer. Good morning.
Yes. Yes.
I just want to send along a ringing endorsement for both of these processes. I've lost both of my parents and recently, as I mentioned, my dog this summer. And in both cases, grief counseling and hospice care, I have found new strength. Now, people may have different ways of dealing with grief, of course. However, I have found both of these processes to be renewing and helpful. And in both cases, I think they've made me not only deal with the loss, but in so doing, becoming a better person just in general. I can't speak highly enough for both of them. So,
how have you become, I'm curious here, Jeff, how have you become a better person as a result of the help that you've been given and losing an animal?
It's more. It goes beyond just losing an animal. The process of processing grief is like any other injury to the body. It takes a great deal of time to heal these severe wounds, and I have learned a great deal of more patience in dealing with intense emotions than I thought I would ever be capable of having. And that's how.
Michelle, that call sounds like you, in a sense, right? Thank you very much, Jeff. I appreciate the call. I mean, some interesting points to be brought up there. I don't know that me losing a pet for me has made me a better person, per se.
Mm-hmm. Well, a cornerstone of our field has to do with, as you pointed, you sort of paused when you said, and palliative care. So, palliative care.
Explain what that is. If people don't know.
Exactly. Palliative care, care is a caring for the animal and their family. So, of course, the entire family is a unit of care.
I'm sorry for interrupting. Most people who have a pet don't have a pet. They have more than one pet statistically.
Right.
So when you mention that, when you mention family, you're talking about human family. Are you also talking other pets in the home?
Sure. Yes. Again, it's the unit of care. They are the people who are most involved, and the primary caregivers, which are, you know, oftentimes spouses. spouses and also children, as you point out. But palliative care has to do with physical and emotional and spiritual care. So your caller, and thank you for calling because it brings out an excellent point, that growth is very much a part of it. We come to understand death, process it. I call it more of the legacy that the animals will provide for the family, which is oftentimes described as profound, life-changing, and so on.
Now we're getting pictures here of pets that have been lost recently. And wow, just a beautiful photo. I'm looking at one at the moment, the black cat. The other cat was like shadow and is now shadowing me. So that's a good question, Dr. Shannon. When do pets grieve for other pets that are lost, and if so, how do you help with that?
Dogs and cats and other species of animals, they're all individuals as much as humans are individuals. And humans all grieve differently from each other, and so do animals. So we need to make room for the surviving dog or cat or bird to grieve in their own personal way. And sometimes that means they don't show any signs of grief, and sometimes they go into deep depression, and the way to help them is to give them love and attention.
You know, I've been on the radio here 22 years, and I think that 22 years ago, if I said that pets do grieve, potentially, as you point out, if another pet is lost in the household, people would have laughed, perhaps. Not my listeners, but people in general. Today, what we know is the neurochemistry for dogs is exactly the same as ours. Cats is awfully close. Know that.
Our knowledge has changed tremendously, and the area that I'm referring to is animal emotion and cognition. And so what we've learned through research in hundreds and thousands of studies is that animals are not quite as different from us as we used to think. Mm-hmm. They have an internal world. They have their emotions and thinking processes. They do have ideas about the past and the future. And we, when we love them, we want to respect the animals. Mm-hmm. Point of view, the animal's preferences about is life still meaningful?
Well, speaking of which, what is pet hospice? My friend and your friend, Dr. Alice Villalobos, several years ago called it pospice. Mm. But what is, no matter what you call it, what are we talking about here?
Hospice is a philosophy of caring for animals who are approaching the end of life and their family. And this philosophy is focused on making every day count, mm-hmm. on making every day that we have the best that it can be.
Mm-hmm. Is that one thing we can learn from our animals? I mean, they look at things a bit differently, of course, Michelle, than we do. And to that extent, and maybe that's what Jeff the caller was talking about, I mean, what I learn throughout life things from my pets. I know it sounds crazy, but mm-hmm. I do. I don't learn how to do taxes, and I don't learn about politics, but I learn a bit about life. Mm-hmm. That's especially true, I think, at the end of life, a certain dignity and also a certain I will carry on until I can no longer.
Mm-hmm. And I might add that it prepares us for the death of every loved one in our family. As animal lovers, will experience the death process many times over the course of our lifetime, right? So it opens the mind and the heart for what we will experience in the loss of our closer family members. Our human family members, mm-hmm. not closer, because many pets are so bonded, and our humans are, again, profoundly profoundly infected, but have to process it differently. That's part of what the team is all about.
And to your point, I mean, you may see that dog every single day. You spend time with that dog every single day, your brother. And I'm not meaning to equate people with animals. You may see twice a year, you know, for the past 20 years. That's, you know, the impact has to be great. If for nothing else, you're being with that being. Every single day, many times a day, you are doing something with that dog.
And that's what makes the decisions that we have to make at the end of our pet's life so difficult. And unfortunately, the number of pet owners who second-guess themselves after the fact for the decisions that, that they've made is much higher than I wish it was. And so the guiding principle for my hospice practice is helping families find a path of least regrets. I want to help them make decisions that, looking back, they will be proud of. And I think that may be in part what Jeff the caller was referring to.
All right, two questions, Dr. Shannon, and quick answers, unfortunately. And I know you could talk about this stuff for hours. In-home euthanasia or in-vet clinic, and how important is it that that family member be there? Quick answers.
Okay. The most important, what's most important is that the pet owner who is struggling with so much has a choice. And for some people, the right choice is euthanasia at home, and for others, it's in clinic.
And just to drop the pet off and drive away, as opposed to be, you're shaking your head no.
Yes, I am, because that is what will cause that sort of grief to intensify.
And is that fair to the pet?
Well, and that is an incredible question. I believe, and we know, that the human-animal bond is so profound that in order for the animal to let go and feel that our human people are well and safe and happy over their lifetime, is important.
Dr. Shannon, Michelle Nichols, thank you both very much. Next week, we talk about rabbits.